Hi, this is Sheila Cagle with the Communicate Influence podcast. If you're a CEO, VP, or manager, or even a titleless entrepreneur, can you honestly say that your team knows what your organization does, why you do it, and where you're going? This week, I'm talking with Ben Baker, an employee engagement and retention consultant based near Vancouver, Canada. Ben says that many employees can't answer these questions, and the lack of information leads to disengagement and eventually departure. If you want to avoid this scenario, listen to Ben discuss the roles of CEOs, managers, and the internal comms team in delivering an organization's story and evolving narrative. This week, I'm saying thanks to Crimson Ghost for their review on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate it. If you like the show, do what Crimson Ghost did and leave a review. It'll help others find our episodes. And now, here's a message from our sponsor.
I'm Kevin from Kef Technology Consulting, and I'm excited to sponsor this episode of Communicate Influence. Kef is a full-service web and business technology consultancy specializing in end-to-end web and e-commerce solutions. Visit kef.ca to schedule a free initial consultation. That's kef.ca.
Hi, Ben. Welcome to the Communicate Influence podcast.
Sheila, it's great being back here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to connect again. Now, one of the key areas that you focus on in your consultancy is internal communication. So whose job is it?
Well, I think it's everybody's job. I think internal communication is not a job title. It's something that needs to happen effectively. And it really needs to start with, you know, how does the culture of the organization evolve? For me, internal communication is getting everybody to understand who you are as a company, what you do, why you do it, where you came from, what got you to this point, who do you serve, you know, what are the things that make you different from your competitors, and where are you going as a company? You know, to me, that's the essence of internal communication. It's the story. It's getting rid of pithy mission vision statements and creating a story that everybody can recall, they can retell, and becomes part of the fabric and the culture of the organization.
And who creates the story, you know, and who develops the narrative, and how is that narrative told, repeated in different ways? Tell us more about your thoughts on that, Ben, and what can be successful.
Well, my goal is, when I work with the organization, that I have a visionary CEO. You know, if you have a visionary CEO that realizes this is where I want to take the company, and this is what I want to be able to achieve over my tenure with this company, whether it be an owner of a company, a founder of a company, you know, the next CEO of the company, it's getting what is their vision of success? What is their vision of the future? You know, where do they see the pitfalls? Where do they see the challenges? Where do they see, you know, who they really believe that their next generation of customers are and who they are today? And you start there. You start there with the philosophy of how do you want the organization to roll out and how do you want it to succeed? And with that vision, it really needs to get into the onboarding of every single employee. And it needs to become part of that culture. And, you know, the most underdeveloped part of any organization is onboarding. You know, onboarding can be as horrible as filling out a few forms, getting a set of business cards, there's your desk, we'll see you later. You know, you are doing your employees nothing but disservice. I mean, here's a scary piece of truth. Every employee that you lose costs you $100,000 to replace. We collectively spend hundreds of millions of dollars as organizations in recruitment and, you know, hiring process, but we spend almost nothing in terms of actually onboarding employees, on training employees, on bringing them into the culture of the organization, creating mentors for them, making sure that they're coached, making sure that their leaders understand how to manage their people effectively and how to inspire their people. And that's where all the internal comm needs to be. It's from what people call managers. I'm a big believer of getting rid of the word manager, calling them frontline leaders, and you know, and building leaders throughout the entire organization, and they are become the keepers of the brand story within their particular department. Because here's the thing: if everybody understands and can recall and retell the brand story, if you're in a meeting and somebody says something and say, "Well, wait a second, that doesn't align with our brand story. That doesn't align with where we're going and what we're doing. Why are we doing it?" And it immediately snaps everybody's head into focus, because everybody knows, okay, that's what we're trying to achieve. That's the brand story. Great. Does this not affect with this? Is this just a shiny object syndrome? Yeah, it is. Okay, then why are we doing this? And then they need to talk about, you know, why are they doing this? And they may go ahead and do it, but they need to be able to justify it based on the culture and the vision and the values of the brand based on that story that that's created.
Wow. I mean, you said an awful lot there, Ben. You know, starting off with the visionary CEO, which clearly not all organizations have, it comes from the top, in effect. And if
has
that,
to.
Yeah. If that person is new, or even if that woman or man have been there for a while, and they can't articulate that or present it in some way that inspires and that they're comfortable with, it's just not going to happen.
No, and it doesn't. And you know what? In most organizations, there is a huge disconnect between what the thought is between the ears of the CEO of what they really want to achieve and what the organization understands. You know, we've run exercises where what you do is you take small teams of people throughout the organization. You'll ask them questions that says, you know, what was the onboarding process? What is your mission? What is your vision? What are your values? Who are you as a company? Who are your customers? Why are you, you know, why are you special to them? Why do they care about you? All those type of questions. And what we'll do is we'll have a graphic recorder with us. And that graphic recorder will be creating an image based on the conversations we have with that small department. Now, what we'll do is we'll take the various graphics and we'll put them all up in the same room, you know, at the end of the day and look at them. And ops tells a different story than marketing, says a different story than sales, says a different story than finance. And if that's the first place to tell that everybody doesn't understand where you are, where what you do, and where you're going.
So also, based on what you said, it sounds like some organizations, maybe many, need to do away with the mission statement and the vision statement that were perhaps written 10, 5, even a year ago, because they're not organic. They don't kind of transform on a month-to-month basis. So, you know, if they don't align with the roadmap that the CEO has presented to the organization, what's the point of them?
Well, and the fact is that most people don't remember them. You know, those six pithy words or that, you know, that one wonderfully crafted sentence, you know, which is our mission or our vision statement. You know, the difference between a mission and a vision statement is your mission statement is where you are today. Your vision statement is where you want to be tomorrow. And where you're going as an organization. And I applaud companies for having that forethought, but you need to amalgamate it into a language that people can internalize. And a story does that. People have been telling stories for tens of thousands of years, and they have been retelling stories for tens of thousands of years. And is that story exactly the same today as it was told 100 years ago? Absolutely not. You know, the story changes, it evolves, it is incorporated into the individual persona of the person who's telling it. But the basic tenets of the story are there, and the basic understanding of the story, and the basic morals of the story are there. And because of that, it's easy for people to sit there and recall and retell, because what they've done is they've made it their own. Now, if you have these six exact words that people need to remember, if you, you know, close people's eyes, you turn them around three times and you tell them to repeat those six words, most might get two, maybe they'll get three. They're certainly not going to get six, and they're not going to get them in order. So it's a matter of sitting there going, okay, let's create something that people are going to be able to internalize, they're going to believe in, and they're only going to believe in it if it's authentic.
Mm.
You know, if it truly is happening in the organization, this is what reality is,
mm-hmm.
in reality in their eyes, not yours as a CEO, then that's when the story becomes propagated and everybody remembers and retells the story.
Mm. That's fascinating. Tell us a little bit, Ben. How do organizations begin putting that narrative together? You know, suppose you've got a great CEO, that woman or man understand how to, you know, get their thoughts, feelings, pinpoint the journey, get it out of their head, onto paper, or in conversation with a strategy person.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step in creating the narrative that becomes really authentic, fairly easy for people to remember, that narrative will spread and people will embrace it? So what are the next steps there, down from the CEO office and strategy and planning?
I think that either that video, that story, that whatever it becomes, there's 100 mediums that you can use to be able to propagate that story. And I think you do need to propagate it amongst a lot of different ways, because different people learn and different people recall and remember differently. But I think the first thing to do is to sit there and say, how do we teach the leadership? How does the CEO teach this story to the leadership? Then how does the leadership tell the story to the people that report to them? And then down and down and down into the organization. And it needs to be believed. Here's a perfect example. A number of years ago, it's probably over a decade ago, a friend of mine rebranded a company that was a small regional airline. And what they did is they said, we are the service airline of British Columbia. I can't remember the exact words of it. But what they did is they got their CEO on one of their planes, along with the marketing team, along with this guy who did the branding and a couple other people, and they did a road show in every single location.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they were videotaping it as they were going along and sending the story along. So as they were moving from place to place, that story was propagating itself and moving from team to team. So it wasn't just a story that was happening in Vancouver and being sent out to the field. It was happening in the field. And people on the ground got to ask questions of the CEO. And most of these people probably had never met the CEO before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had never met the person. You know, they never met the senior leadership of the organization because these people never came up to Prince George or, you know, wherever in the northern part of British Columbia. And by doing that, there was a series of connections.
Mm.
And people connected with each other and they all had the same story at the same time within a 2-week period. And it allowed them to sit there and say, okay, and this is where we're going. And it got everybody on the same page very quickly. And you know what? It's that human factor. If you can make the message human, if you can make the message personal, if you can say that people learn it from each other within the organization, it will propagate. If it's just, you know, a video comes out from the CEO's office and that's it, it's probably not going to, you know, nothing's going to come out of it. There has to be change within the organization that reflects that mission and vision.
Mm-hmm.
Like the entire organization has to be willing to change to be able to make sure that those mission and vision statements are not just words, that they're actually actions and they're actually lived. They're not just, you know, they're just not just tokens of appreciation.
Mm. Now, organizations that have some complexity, maybe research councils, tech organizations, engineering companies, you'll often encounter VPs, managers, people leaders who feel or want to put forward the point that, you know, the story, what we're doing is just too complex for a narrative. This approach won't work. There are so many layers and complexities and different approaches to our client segments, you know, I don't think this can work. How would you respond to that?
I would think that that's overcomplicated in a simple situation. I think that what you're trying to communicate is who are you, what do you believe in, and why do you do it? And as an organization, if you can't answer that simply, you don't know what you're doing. Yes, you have different customers. Yes, you have different verticals. Yes, you have different solutions. But in the end, you're a company that does this. This is what we do. This is what we specialize in. This is our vision. These are the people that we support, and this is why. And it needs to be that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it needs to be, this is what we do, and this is why we do it. And, you know, take a look at a company like Apple. You know, Apple is, you know, where has Apple come from 1984 to where they are today? The brand is still about creating excellence. It's all about creating a tribe. It's all about, you know, being able to be a technology pioneer. That's what the brand is about. It's not about the Apple IIe versus the Macintosh versus, you know, Apple Pay. It's about being visionary in the technology sphere.
Mm-hmm.
And building a tribe of people that want simplicity and elegance.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, let's kind of move on a little bit and talk about the point that I raised early on with my experience in internal comms. Where does that team fit in the experience, the dynamic process that you've described? What is the role of the VP of comms or, you know, the manager, director, whatever title, and their team?
I think the role of the VP comms and the internal team has to be of, they need to be champions of the brand. They need to be people that are able to propagate the brand, but they need to be able to go out there and build champions on a department-by-department basis. They need to be the conduit of the brand. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to be the ones that can sit there and say, how do we help make this meaningful to your particular group? You know, people say, oh, that's so much work. I got to do all this different work for different people at different times and different work. But that's how you make this effective. If you just put out one specific message in one specific way using one specific medium, you're going to get about 20% of the people that are going to buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, at best, you know, how many people, you know, are so inundated with emails that they get 200 to 300 to 400 emails a day? If you get one more with a directive, are you really going to read it? Some people might. Most people won't. Some people want to see a video. Some people want to have a chat about it on a Slack channel. You know, some people want to have a town hall group that's going to be able to do this. You know, it's understanding that different people learn different ways. Different people internalize information different ways. And understanding who are your stakeholders.
Yeah, comms really needs to be the champion of that.
Absolutely. Your job is not just to disseminate information. It's to make sure that people understand information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just, oh, okay, we need to get a brochure out on this, or we need to get a pamphlet out of this, or we need to create a new, you know, video on this. Is the information going to be understood by the people that it's being sent to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it going to be engaged with by the people that it's going to be sent to? Are they going to start conversations around this? You know, what is your feedback like? Mm-hmm. It's not enough to just send stuff out. There has to be a feedback loop. There has to be a way for people to come back and ask questions. There has to be a way for people to turn around and discuss it. And I think that that's what's missing in a lot of terms of internal comm. It's a one-way communication process, and it needs to be two-way.
Engagement, really, in effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, let's touch on the important point before we finish our conversation, Ben. But you raised a really important point at the beginning, the cost of losing an employee who's not been engaged. Join the dots for us and talk about how the narrative, the story, what's your story approach really assists with employee engagement and keeps those people, you know, really interested in what they're doing, believing in their work, focused on the mission. How does that work with this approach, Ben?
Yeah, let me add a couple of pieces of information to that. Inc. magazine says that 70% of employees today are disengaged in one way, shape, or form. Forbes magazine says that 50% of employees are either actively or passively out there looking for another job. Gallup is saying that this is costing the U.S. economy about $500 billion a year. We're talking enormous numbers here. We're talking dissatisfaction, unhappy people. We're dealing with people that are just not doing their job to the full of their extent. A brand story enables people to understand what their particular role is within the organization, why they matter. People want to feel listened to, they want to be understood, and they want to be valued. It's really that simple. If people within an organization feel listened to, understood, and valued, and they understand how their particular role matters and how their particular role helps the organization be more successful, they're going to work harder. They're going to want to stay around. They're going to want to, you know, they're going to want to be promoted. They're going to want to stay with the company. They're going to want to make the company better. They're going to be better customer advocates. They're going to provide better customer experience. They're going to create more loyal clients. And therefore, you're going to have better profit margin. You know, so it's all about being able to have people understood that they matter within the company.
Mm.
And that story allows that to happen because all of a sudden people sit there and say, oh, okay, this is my story within the organization. This is where I fit in. This is where I am part of this thing. And I'm not just employee 12457. I'm Jane Doe or I'm John Doe. And this is how I particularly, the stuff that I do on a daily matter basis matters to the organization and helps the organization be better. And I think that that's what we need to achieve as leaders, to be able to let people know how they matter and why they matter and why their success leads to the overall success of the company.
Mm. So it's about finding meaning and purpose.
Absolutely.
Purpose is
huge.
Mm. Totally. Ben, it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. This is such a valuable conversation. I've no doubt there'll be many comms, CEOs, employees even, wanting to listen to what you have to say. And we'll definitely have your links, your website, et cetera, in the show notes. And I'm sure people will be reaching out to you too to, you know, find your thoughts on their particular problems, their struggles. So really valuable. Thanks so much, Ben. You take care.
All right, take care, and thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.